The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you want to talk about when it comes to your health. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've applied, you've tried all kinds of things, and you really haven't gotten away with making it right. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We have a program for you, and one that I think that will evoke a lot of interest, attention, response on your part, simply because it has to do with everything that moves in your body. We're talking about your joints, you know, whether it's your knees, your hips, your elbows, your fingers, your neck. It's joint pain, and joint pain is very diverse in its application, where it comes from, how you fix it, and so forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, it can be fixed. So we're talking about three common causes of joint pain, and we're going to kind of focus on the different pieces, whether it's stress patterns, yep, stress and injury patterns and biochemistry. But more importantly, in studio, and your host this Wednesday evening, September 20th, the Rozelle Center for Healing, to go over all of this in detail, none other than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning.
Hi, Tom. Always good to be here with you.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you and good to hear your voice, as always, because there's nothing more than brilliance that, you know, I learn every time that I listen to you. It's like, really? I forgot about that. Joint pain is something that can stop people from not only enjoying their lives but being productive. It can put them in a disability pattern. It's one of those things that people are told that arthritic conditions that are progressive, they're not going to go away, and they just learn to live with it, right? So at the end of the day, let's talk about these things. You know, your topic this week is three common causes of joint pain, and they may be common, but in fact, they're very diverse.
Yeah. So when we think about joint pain, I like to kind of break it down into, is it a localized problem? Is it a knee, single knee issue, or is it a global problem? A lot of people have migratory transient joint pain that goes from one joint to the other. And I think when you look at it from a specific point of view as far as causation, I concentrate on these three things. Is there a degenerative situation taking place? Is there some sort of metabolic shift that's taking place in the body, or is the immune system actually doing something that's inappropriate, causing us to have excessive amounts of inflammation? And then from there, you can, you know, list the subsets of those things that might be problematic.
You know, I have patients that come in as you do, and they say, well, you know, I can't raise this without hurting. I can't walk. And where's the pain? And they'll point to an elbow, a hip, or whatever. They reach for a cup of tea or a glass of water or whatever, and they can't grip it because their hands hurt. And as you said, the triggering mechanisms are multidimensional. If we had to analyze the problems with joint deterioration, inability, pathology, and so forth, let's take it one at a time. Let's talk about the biochemical pieces, which a lot of people don't think about. You know, they think that, well, you know, it's my turn to get arthritis, and what do I expect for my age? And not true.
No, it's definitely not true. And from a metabolic standpoint, we have to start with the diet. So if the diet is not satisfactory to running the day-to-day operations of our body, then we're going to see the body start to break down tissues to release nutrients that we might need for more important things in the body. So it's going to scavenge the joints and break them down. Certainly, we see things like gout, and we see things like diabetic neuropathies. These are all things that are extremely controllable that have a tendency to just slowly degrade over time, and then the person will have multiple bouts, and they'll treat it the same old way with taking some over-the-counter stuff and maybe cleaning up the diet for a little bit, but ultimately the problem comes back. And each time it returns, we have more permanency taking place. In other words, the joint is becoming damaged, and it's demonstrable. We can start to see it on X-ray.
So once you have pathology, obviously it's gone through that acute and then the functional deterioration, then ultimately they're long enough. If you said that we start getting erosion and destruction of the joints. Patient who has gout, you know, they come in and you tell them, this looks like gout to me. And they say, well, my doctor said that there's nothing wrong with my uric acid level. And you look at the uric acid level and you may have a, you know, you have a range. And for me, it's a moment in time. They took the test not during the time of the inflammation, but at the time when it was in recession. And it may be borderline. You know, you see six is the number that I use. Anything above six is irritation. But I'm using that as a primary example, something that we see all the time. So when you have a patient, you know clinically as a doctor that based on where the patient is showing you, whether it's a knee problem or whether it's a toe problem or it's in the shoulder, and you know based on history, this has got to be a gouty problem.
Sure.
How do you approach it? How do you tell the patient? How do you tell them, listen, that blood work that you just had is wrong?
Well, I think a lot of times, because the person has been experiencing this numerous occasions, when you describe to them the symptom patterns associated with gout, they start to get it. And when you talk to them about their diet and the specific foods, the purine-rich foods like pork and seafood, the alcohols, the things that drive the gout, they start to get it. I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about undiagnosed gout, meaning I can't tell you how often I run routine blood work, which is almost always has uric acid and other markers of inflammation, and those markers are out of range. They're high, and the person doesn't even have any symptoms. So I think the issue moving forward is the amount of people that perceive that they're healthy that have all of these inflammatory markers that are elevated. So, I mean, there's a big concern here, and if gout wasn't such a up-and-coming, you know, dysfunction and disease, we wouldn't see ads on TV for it.
So the flip side of what I was just talking about, in one situation, the presentation is there, but it's not showing. In this situation, the symptoms aren't as demonstrable, but they do have gout.
Correct. Subclinical. So you know what? You're just going to have to go through and do your physical exam. You're going to have to analyze the diet with the person. And then you're going to look at the history of the problem. They're probably having flare-ups that they just aren't even aware of. They just think, oh, I must just strain my knee or something to the effect of that.
How does gout manifest itself in a slow, insidious way where you're not getting the huge exacerbation of where it's hot, it's red, it's throbbing, you can't move the joint? What's the progression? We're talking about joint pain, stiffness, degeneration, and so forth.
Well, the classic textbook case of gout would be exactly what you're saying. A person would wake up one day, their big toe would be swollen, be very red, extremely tender to the touch, and they don't want to bear weight on it. But for a lot of folks that have these subtle signs of gout, it just might be a little bit of transient aching, maybe a little bit of swelling. They can get by with it, and then it slowly disappears because maybe they're taking a lot of Advils and those types of things, and then the body's normal process of repairing takes place. But each time we go through this process, then there's a little bit more deterioration to the joint, a little bit more instability, and more likely that it's going to attack that joint again.
Well, the unrecognized situation of gout, and then you're trying to treat this inflammatory reaction, this pain pattern, with things like Advil, which is an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, any of these things, doesn't that itself, the ignoring the fact that they have a problem, continuing the same process that brings it about, using a temporary anti-inflammatory NSAID, doesn't that NSAID, as well as in addition to the historical representation, make it worse?
Yeah, well, the end product of long-term use of the non-steroidals, obviously we talk about gut irritation, liver and kidney, you know, those are the very important as far as something that could send somebody to the hospital real quick. And it happens. It happens a lot more than we would realize. But the one issue is when we take these over long periods of time, it blocks the natural utilization of sulfur in our joints. And sulfur is kind of the sand of the cement. It's a large part of what goes on in the cartilage. So if we don't utilize sulfur, we don't build strong cartilage. So you're basically starving that joint of its basic nutrients. It'll help with the pain, but over the long haul, the quality of the cartilage that's repairing is not very good.
It's going away.
Yeah.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here in studio. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning, your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, the 20th of September already, 7 p.m. He's going to be getting into joint pain, whether it's your fingers or your toes or your knees or your shoulders. Doesn't make any difference. There's an underlying why. You want to try to figure out how to fix this and find out what you're doing that is actually exacerbating and perhaps promoting the problem. This is an opportunity. Go to rozellecare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, that's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, and there's a button that says register now, or go call 703-698-7117, that's 703-698-7117, and register. We have limited spacing. As you know, they've been to the practice. We can fit X number of people very, very well. After that, if there's more of you, we'll maybe consider a second date, but generally we don't. So do it now. Make the phone call. Dr. Browning, let's move this forward. We're talking a little bit about gout and what happens and the insidiousness of breaking things down and so forth. We started touching on the inflammatory pathways. What other inflammatory reactions occur? What are the triggering mechanisms from the in the body that causes this underlying, perhaps slow, insidious, low-level, constant inflammatory reaction that ultimately attacks the joint spaces and begins to cause first stiffness and then weakness in the hands and then obviously pain and degeneration?
Well, I think kind of one of the base things that we want to talk about is the acid-alkaline balance of the body. That's the ability for the body to buffer itself. We want to have a relatively neutral pH in most of our tissues, around 6.8, you know, upwards to 7. And the body's responsibility when we start to either drift too alkaline or too acidic is to buffer it by using minerals that we have in our body. Well, if our diet is very mineral deficient and we have a very inflammatory diet, then we're going to run out of that buffering capability and we're going to become very acidic. And we can measure that by looking at the omega fats in our body, the omega 3s and 6s, and we've been using that brain span test to do that, and it gives us a lot of information. But I think if we look at pH, real basic indicators, and look at the diet and talk about the things that we need to do to restore the buffering capability, that's a great place to start for almost anyone with any kind of joint pain.
So when you have an inflammatory reaction, as I tell patients, when you hear inflammation, think acid. And it's an acidic deterioration, breakdown, just like any kind of acid, hydrochloric acid, whatever is going to eat through the body. But the body tries to survive because in a state of acidity, in a state that way, we lose our life, basically. So we try to buffer it, as you said, with minerals. And when the mineral stores that are depleted or low simply because of the fact that we're not eating properly, it's got to take it from someplace, and it starts taking it from bone.
Yeah.
And that's where your storage levels are, right?
Yeah, you're going to always take it from non-essential sources, and that's the joints. And the readily available sources of minerals are definitely going to be your bones, and it's going to be your cartilage. So we got to be careful there.
So in a situation where we have an inflammatory cascade and an inflammatory reaction, we're eating ourselves to protect ourselves, to make that pain sustainable for a period of time until we hit the wall and there's nothing else left. We're coming up to a break. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning. He'll be your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We're going to talk about joint pain, all kinds of joint pain, and a lot of different reasons. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and answer your questions on your health and see what we can do without drugs and surgery and put you in a direction that might actually change your life and extend your longevity. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, this is your opportunity every Sunday at high noon. Except when we're preempted by a local Redskin game, and then we're switching just for the season on occasion to Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock. But you can find out when by going to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. Same place that you register for Dr. Browning's program this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on joint pain. Professor, Dr. Browning, welcome back again. Let's get a little deeper into the mud here, so to speak, with joint problems. How would you distinguish the differences, you know, for patients? You know, somebody's coming in, their hands are sore, they hurt, they, you know, between what we call osteoarthritis or just joint pain, pain deterioration, a rheumatoid pattern, and somebody that we see so much of it today because of many things, an infectious type of problem, could be protozoic, could be parasitic, could be bacterium, could be a lot of different things.
Well, I think the history of the problem gives you a lot of information to begin with. Did it happen after an injury? So if there's an injury associated with it, we can be pretty sure that there's a degenerative process that's taking place. If it's insidious, in other words, a person doesn't know how it started, it just started to creep up. Then I start to consider more metabolic and certainly immune things. Is the pain global? If it's global, then definitely we're going to start thinking more metabolic and immune. And then I don't hesitate to run the tests to help me confirm it. You know, we're going to run some of the blood tests and the x-rays and those types of things to try to figure out, you know, what the underlying cause is. Age and sex of the patient has a lot to do with it too. You know, ladies are a little bit more likely to have the autoimmune type pain patterns, RA, psoriasis, lupus, those types of things.
Let me ask you a question. Patient presents, and this is one that I'm asked on a regular basis. Patient presents with rheumatoid joints, and you see the beginning nodules. We call them Hebridan nodes on the fingers. And, you know, they're in, they've done everything, and they're on medications that make it worse. Can you fix a rheumatoid patient? Can you get their hands to work again?
Well, I don't think it's so much can you fix it or can you stop it? I mean, in other words, slow it down. So the answer is, yeah, you can slow it down. You just need to get the immune system to understand what normal tissue is, because an autoimmune problem means that the body does not identify its own tissue, so it thinks it's foreign. In this case, we're talking about the joint. So then the body starts attacking it and breaking down the joint. So you have to make the immune system start to understand what self is versus what is foreign. And I think the best way to begin with that is by looking at all the types of triggers that cause the immune system to become overactive. Everything from our diet to chemical exposure to heavy metals, on and on and on. We have to be on a level playing field or else the body is just going to continue to go after itself. And unfortunately, with RA and lupus, it starts to expand its territory. And not only is it going to attack the joints, it's going to attack important organs like the kidneys.
Well, we're seeing so many more autoimmune reactions across the board, but particularly in joint spaces and the deterioration that takes place from it. And I asked you that question for a reason. And you did touch upon the area, and that's the intestinal tract. Our dietary patterns, our exposures to so many different things, our food has been modified dramatically. You see organic today, but it just the label organic doesn't rule out that it's GMO or it's genetically modified. You have to see both, organic, non-GMO. And then is it free-ranged? You know, you have people come and say, well, it can be organic, but they're not free-ranged. Exactly. You know, they can have organic substances, but if, for example, you get a piece of meat that says organic, and if it's not free-range, but it doesn't, they could be giving them organic foods for that cow or that animal that you're eating, and that's going to pass through to you. So we have these triggering patterns. So we have to be so careful today. The exposures of metals from inoculations and different medications and the suspensions, breathing our atmosphere. We have coal burning out in West Virginia Hills, and unfortunately, the weather patterns drive it this way in this Washington metropolitan area. The things that are coming out of the Potomac River, all of those things add to it. So that was thank you for answering that, because that's what I was trying to go after.
Yeah, and one thing we can't forget about is what I call the residues of digestion. In other words, when we digest food, and let's say a classic example would be wheat. The body will break that wheat down into these small pieces of proteins, and very often those proteins cross-react with the body, so it can mimic these autoimmune type problems.
Dramatically so. This Wednesday evening, the 20th, 7 p.m., Dr. Harlan Browning, my guest in studio today, your host, your presenter. Those of you who heard this man know that he is just an encyclopedia profound of all kinds of knowledge. Be there. Go to RoselleCare.com. Register today before the class fills up. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we're in studio. It's that time of the year, you know. It's kind of fading from summer into fall, and, you know, we get our days that are up and down and everything that goes out there. But you know what? With that, we start noticing things. And one of the things that we do notice because of the shift in weather and the shift in our activity levels is joint pain. And in studio, none other than Dr. Harlan Browning, who will be your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about common types of joint pain, three types of joint pain. And he's going to get into the patterns, but more importantly, what you can do about them, what you can do to make a difference. Give us a call here in studio at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Ask any questions that you may have about that. Dr. Brown, we've hit on several things in the first part of the program. I want to talk about something I've been asked several times about recently by a couple physicians who are good friends, and they've sent me emails and say, hey, how can I evaluate my patient for this type of condition? And they're talking about complex regional pain syndrome. And, you know, how can you make that determination? Because this is a kind of a you know, a bailiwick of all kinds of things that is a chronic representation. You go back in the history and it can come about because of stroke. It can come back because of, you know, neurological trauma and so forth. How do you get into that spider's web?
Well, first of all, this used to be called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, RSD, and they changed it to these complex regional pain syndromes, 1 and 2. And I don't know, maybe they've even added a third one. It's almost always after some sort of injury, be it a physical trauma or, like you said, a stroke. And really what it is that it's the nervous system and the pain generating portion of the nervous system that gets caught up in what we call wind up. In other words, it just keeps propagating that there's pain. In many cases, there is no perturbation. There's nothing irritating the system, but what's happening is that the spinal cord starts to talk and it continues to tell the body that it's in pain. Not too far removed from when we hear about soldiers having phantom limb. That's a form of this wind up as well. So it's one of the great mysteries in medicine, and it very often is diagnosed by exclusion, similar to the way fibromyalgia is diagnosed. After they've gone through everything, as long as it fits their criteria, okay, in as far as RSD, it usually means that there's pain in the limb. The person can't touch it, very often can't even put clothing on. It's usually a temperature change. So there's a skin change. We call this trophic changes. So in other words, we look at the skin and it looks different on one arm versus the other. Maybe it's scaly. Maybe it looks dried out. The hair might fall off. So this is the diagnosis that happens over time.
So with this type of condition in our ballpark, so to speak, we're going to be looking further upstream, if you will, to try to find out the initiators where the triggering mechanisms are, because as they say, everything is above down, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to go as high up into the, you know, the higher up areas of the spinal cord. We're going to go up into the brain. And we're going to see if there was trauma, there was irritation, there was anything, and then try to reset, including what we call the dura, the covering of the brain and the spinal cord, and any kind of twist or turn or compression that may be coming from that, which is not going to show in traditional testing.
And very much it does not, correct. Yep.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, it's been my experience when we're dealing with this complex regional pain syndrome is that, as you said, there's triggers that generally go unnoticed or undetected because they don't look at it from a functional point of view. They just see the pain pattern. And here's where truly the structural, chemical, emotional pathway paradigm comes into effect. They could have trauma, could have been trauma to the head. It could have been an off-centering of the temporomandibular joint, which causes reflex patterns into the brain and to the covering of the brain. It can be a car accident that they thought they walked away unscathed, but now they have all these other things that are going on. Biochemistry, where, you know, we're eating things, as we talked about briefly, that shouldn't be in our bodies, but now because of the inflammatory reaction, that inflammatory reaction can go to one particular area and cause issues. So it's a, as you said, it's a ruling out, but not just ruling out, but a ruling out until you get down to where the trigger is.
Right. And very often it can be a benign injury. A person slips and falls, lands on their hip, not a big deal. You jump off. The next day, it's a little sore. Day after that, it's completely fine. But then 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, the person starts to get the joint pain again. Now it starts to radiate down the leg, and then all of these other things start to cascade down. So it's a very perplexing disorder for sure.
You know, very interesting. I had a patient the other day that came in, and you're talking about leg pain and back pain. This person came in and couldn't move their knee. And just, you could tell the knee was locked, the muscles weren't firing the way they're supposed to. The hip was irritated and limited in its function. And I went through and I said, you know, when did this happen? He said, well, it happened about 6 months ago and it's gotten progressively worse and it seems to be affecting everything else. And we went through process of elimination. There was no injury pattern. The guy's diet was okay. It wasn't wonderful, but nothing that I could really put my finger on that would have caused this reaction. And what I did find was the guy had some dental work done and had an implant put in, and the implant on that side was not setting the way it should, so the TMJ on that side was locked down. And in our business, we know that if you watch somebody on a treadmill and you just watch them walk and you put thermistors, as we call it, sensors on the jaw and so forth, in the hip and other places, you're going to see that the TMJ and the sacroiliac joint fire at the same time in a gait pattern walking on that treadmill. And what had happened, and I sent him back to the dentist. I didn't do anything. I sent him back and I said, look, have him fix this because this is what's causing this problem that you're having in the knee. And I can't fix it until this is fixed. And sure enough, he goes back. The dentist called me, was cooperative, fixed that. And then I was able to fix it and it went away.
Yeah. So ill-fitting dental appliances, Invisaligns, inappropriate splinting. These are all things that can cause problems very far away from the TMJ itself. And very often it's never caught until someone like us has the opportunity to sit and talk with the person. So pick your dentist
carefully.
Yep. And then think twice about these devices that are supposed to fix things and they do it on the cheap, because that usually means that there's going to be problems on the back end.
That's right. There's some really good guys out there. And for me, if you're going to have any kind of dental work done that has to, whether it's a crown, whether it's a implant, whether it's a filling or anything like that, and then the dentist takes this little carbon paper and puts it in your mouth and says, you know, chomp down, grind back and forth, make sure you're sitting, because your jaw is not in a normal neutral position if you're not at least sitting. Standing is even better. Drive your dentist crazy, but your teeth will not fit properly unless you do it that way. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning. He's going to be talking about the three common causes of joint pain. Go to RoselleCare.com and register. That's RoselleCare.com, or call 703-698-7117 and register that way. But register today and make sure that we have space for you. Let's go to the phones. Bobby, thank you for calling. How can we help you, sir?
Doctor, this may be a little off topic, but I just got my blood test, and my testosterone level was 208 instead of, I guess, what they're looking for is about 280. And I was wondering if there was a natural way to increase the testosterone level, because supplements or injections have some serious side effects.
They do. And matter of fact, medicine, traditional allopathic community is revisiting the use of testosterone, and they're saying that testosterone supplementation does not have the effect that they had originally thought it was going to have, and is causing way too many side effects, including the potential of some cancers. So how old are you, Bobby?
76.
Okay. So, yeah, you're down. And, you know, as we get older, all of our testosterone levels, our growth hormones and so forth, begin to drop, but they shouldn't drop to the point where basically, you know, you're in a huge deficit. So there's things that can be done. But you have to look at the structural, chemical, emotional pathways to be able to do that. If you're in a constant pain pattern, your testosterone level is going to drop.
As a matter of fact, I have some significant back issues, and that could be the cause of it.
It can very well be. If your back, remember the nerves that come from your back go to your gonads, all right? And then there's a area of your brain, the pituitary gland in your brain triggers a hormone called LH or luteinizing hormone, which triggers the testicles to produce testosterone. And it does it continually all our lives. But then your fight flight, your adrenal glands, had an outer shell that also produces testosterone, and more so as we get older. But the combination of two should keep you in an equilibrium, if everything is working the way it's supposed to, where you're a whole lot higher. You're not going to be 18 again, but it should keep you within the realm of a significant good level. And then does that, the other piece of that, does what you have shift into what we call free testosterone, and that's the available source, and then does it transport into the tissue? Does it actually get into the tissue?
So what should I be doing with meals or food or any supplements that I should take?
Bobby, I would recommend what Dr. Rozelle is kind of touching on here. You might want to have your doctor expand the laboratory testing to give us more information. You might just have had what's called a total testosterone, which tells you all of the testosterone there, but we want to know free testosterone. We want to know how it's getting converted. You want to check something called DHT, dihydrotestosterone. That's the one that typically causes us to lose hair, irritates the prostate, and those types of things. So I would also check cortisol levels, because cortisol will sabotage our anabolic hormones like testosterone.
Bobby, you've got some good people out in your area. You're from Williamsburg, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
They're not quite close to you, but there's some people out in the Virginia Beach and Norfolk area. If you send me a note at through our website at rozellecare.com, I will send you the names of those people. These are people that can help you. The thing that is that you want to get rid of that pain pattern. You want to find out if there's any underlying triggering problems such as dietary patterns. And yes, so in fact, there's lots that can be done, but it has to be done in a very specific, judicious way. So if you would do that, Bobby, I would help you as best I possibly can. But in fact, there are people out there that can make a difference. And I appreciate your call, Bobby. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning, who's talking about three common causes of joint pain. And the thing of it is that you put up with pain, and pretty soon the pain consumes you and causes things to continue to degenerate. And, you know, what we're talking about here is structural, chemical, and stress patterns that cause pain. Let's get into that stress pattern. We haven't talked about that at all yet.
Yeah, so I think the last caller gives us a great opportunity to expand on this role of chronic pain. So let's say Bobby has back pain. So when he's in pain, then the body is going to help that situation in part by producing more of the stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. What happens is when the cortisol level elevates over time, it flips our sleep-wake cycle. So now instead of us getting restorative sleep at nighttime, we're getting interrupted sleep. So we do not produce the hormones that help build us up, like testosterone and growth hormone. Additionally, as that cortisol starts to elevate, it sensitizes the nerves to make them feel like they're in more pain. And ultimately, we see a phenomenon called pregnenolone steel. That's a big word, and it has to do with a chemical the body makes and a pathway it goes down. So what happens is cortisol goes up. Instead of us using this substance, pregnenolone, to make restorative hormones like testosterone, it's specifically shunted to make more cortisol. So a person's chronic pain syndrome can ultimately drive their hormones down.
Starts looping.
Yeah. So then now if we have less testosterone, we don't heal as fast. So then the person feels even worse, more pain. Now we get tired, loss of libido. So there's a huge correlation between stress and pain, and this huge cascade into hormones. It's pretty amazing.
You know, and we get caught in this vicious cycle, this loop of degradation, and we unfortunately go to the docs, and they're well-meaning, but they write the prescription, and that actually triggers more of what we're just talking about.
Correct.
It feeds back onto itself. And you can break the cycle, but you have to break the pain pattern. If it's biochemically induced, as some of the things we're talking about, we always touch upon with the types of foods that we're eating, consuming, the exposures that we have. If you don't stop that and then get rid of those things and then reset the system, you're still not going to be able to fix these things. So you have to look at it structurally, chemically, emotionally. This emotional piece is a trigger that we don't talk too much about in, you know, except giving lip service. But the truth of it is, when you're under stress, your body's flight-flight system, your adrenal pattern is going to constantly be irritated. Your cortisol is going to spike. And then pretty soon, ultimately, you get the opposite end of it. It's going to crash. And then you have nothing to repair the system with. And then you have this chronic pain that just never, ever seems to want to go away.
Yeah, so the three big things that our body's stress system responds to is pain, emotional distress, and blood sugar control. So people forget about that. When we have a poor diet or we skip meals, then the body's going to go into fight or flight, and it's going to try to fix it.
You know, it's real simple, but it's complex. And the complexity, Dr. Brown is going to kind of make very simple this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. So make sure you show up. Give us a call. Register online. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon. Those of you on the West Coast, do the math. You know how to find us. And those of you who are around the world, thank you very much, and thank you for the, you know, the tweets we get and the reach outs that we get from those of you who are in armed services. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it very, very much, more than you'll ever know. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning, is going to be talking about the three common causes of joint pain. And it's one of those things that you have to pay attention to because it's resolvable. We're going to take a very quick call, and then I'm going to let Dr. Browning talk about the class that's coming up. Ann, thank you for your call. Make it real quick, please. Hello?
Hi.
Ann, hi, Dr. Rozelle.
Hi. I fell on a platform. I hit my knee, and I fell on my left side, and I hurt my shoulder. And then about 3 weeks after, I started having pains in my buttocks that goes all the way down to my ankle.
Okay, Ann, we're going to make this real quick, unfortunately. Have you done anything about it? Have you been treated at all?
Well, with physical therapy.
Has it helped you at all?
It has helped some, but especially in the mornings when I get up, I have a lot of pain. I sort of go through all these gyrations to get it painless, and then after walking for a while, the pain goes away.
Okay, so we're going to address that real quickly. We're coming up to the end of the program, Ann, so I'm going to have Dr. Browning jump in on that a little bit.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're getting some sort of nerve compression, most likely in the very low part of your back, L4 or L5. You know, I would assume you're over the age of 70, is that correct? So there's probably some degenerative changes in there, and when you fell, you might have shifted something, either physically shifted the vertebrae or maybe even some remnants of the disc. So that's called sciatica, and it's you know, that's a classic joint pain problem. When we have enough degeneration in the spine, it gets close enough to the nerve, then it's going to cause a referral of pain either down the leg or the arm, and we're definitely going to talk about that on Wednesday, because that's the person who starts out with back pain, and now we've got back pain and leg pain or arm pain.
It's a constant cascade that goes through, and the way you hit your shoulder, your hip, and so forth, you could have moved your sacroiliac, which is part of the pelvis, causing all kinds of continual processing, and that pain just starts looping. So this would be a very good program for you to attend. Dr. Browning, let's get talk a little bit about the program. We've got about a minute or so left. What are you going to be focusing on, and how are you going to present it? You know, what can people expect this Wednesday evening?
Well, we're certainly going to go through and look at the anatomy and the physiology and the way the body works or sometimes doesn't work in the case of joint pain. I'm going to point out some of the common patterns that we see with degenerative changes in joints. We're going to touch on the metabolic side. We're going to talk about diet and this acid-alkaline balance and the things that get people into bad places. In other words, the foods that they eat or the things that they drink that shift this pattern into a place of chronic inflammation. And then we're certainly, we'll touch on some of the immune-mediated things, including the autoimmune. And then we can't forget about the bacterial and viral things. So there's all these Lyme infections and Lyme co-infections, and these viral situations that can cause the immune system to just start producing a lot of inflammation everywhere.
You know, I think that's the reality check on this. You're really talking about a structural, chemical, emotional application when it comes to any kind of joint space. And you got to figure out what the problem really is. So if you're suffering from joint pain, no matter what it is, remember your spine is a joint. Your shoulders are joints. Your knees, your ankles, your fingers, your toes. This is an opportunity to really find out what you can do to fix it, to make a difference in it, and really reclaim your life. That's why we do these classes. That's why you're invited. That's why they're a gift to you, because, you know, it's up to you. You are the captain of your own ship here. We're coming up to the end of the program. Unfortunately, we have to say adieu till we see you next time. We'll see you this Wednesday evening as well. This is Dr. Tom Roesel. Love you.